But now, a question that refers to Izmit, that is Izma, and to Mustafa Kemal Tashkar, who later received the name Atatürk. Quetzal, 119. Yes, in 1964, you shot a revolver bullet between the eyes of his portrait when, after your serious accident at the customs station of Rivenland in your delirium, you demolished the main office of the police and customs station. Billy, I first found that out and realized that 2 months later, when I returned from Kuwait and investigated all that I had done during the 29 days of my delirium. Fortunately, the customs officials had already known me very well for several years and had also read in the newspaper about my serious accident in Iskenderun, otherwise, they certainly would have shot me. At least, that's what they said when I asked them about it, as I raged around and fired away with my revolver. Solely because they knew me well and saw that I wasn't in my right mind, they kept their distance, left me alone, and didn't shoot me down. Quetzal, 120. I know the story very well. Billy, good, then to the question. In the 20s of this century, the city of Izmir burned down completely, and the cause of the fire was never clarified up to this day. Do you know anything about this? The Greek population of the city then fled and was taken up in the ship's harbor by the garrisons of the Allied crews and was brought to Greece. The city burned for 3 days. It was the year 1920, 1921, or 1922. Quetzal, 121. That is also known to me. 122. The purpose of the fire, which was secretly arranged by the Turkish military leaders, served to drive out the Greeks, against whom Mustafa Kemal had fought with his army and was victorious over them. 123. Thus, the fire of Izmir served as an ethnic cleansing during the Greek-Turkish War. Billy, and who was the evil one, or who were the evil ones? I mean, who had ordered the fire? Quetzal, 124. It was a joint decision of the executives around Mustafa Kemal Tashkar. 125. He himself had nothing to do with it. Billy, then now, I turn to something else, namely to elephants, since I know that you are well versed in zoology and, thus, also in the area of wildlife. In reference to elephants, I would just like to know if I still remember Sfuth's instruction correctly, for I was just asked about this. Sfuth explained to me that elephants have an extraordinarily advanced instinct consciousness, as well as a highly advanced instinct psyche, and as a result of this, an instinct relationship also exists among their equals and, to a lesser extent, also with other life forms, including humans, if they can directly deal with elephants in a loving way. The communication of the elephants among themselves takes place in a similar way as with dolphins and whales, etc., whereby at least these two life forms are also predisposed in a very similar way, with respect to instinct consciousness, instinct relationship, and instinct psyche. The elephants communicate among themselves using these forms mentioned, but also through touch, gestures, scents, and sniffing, as well as through audible sounds and infrasound. Is my memory right in this regard? Quetzal, 126. It's all remarkably accurate. Billy, we've talked about asteroids and comets, and you said that several of these will appear in the coming years or up to the beginning of the third millennium and that many new ones would be discovered. Can you tell me what will probably be the most spectacular in this connection? Quetzal, 127. It won't just be several asteroids that will be discovered up to the beginning of the third millennium but rather dozens each year. 128. But an object that will really be something special for the Earth people, a comet, will be discovered in the month of July of the year 1995 by two American amateur astronomers named Alan Hale and Thomas Bopp, which is why the comet will then also be called the Hale-Bopp comet. Billy, and why will this comet be something special? What form will it have, then, and how large and how broad, I mean how long and how wide, will it be, and how close will it come to the Earth and to the Sun? Quetzal, 129. The length of the comet is 38,432 meters and its width is 36,781 meters, which already explains that the object is oval-shaped. 130. The closest point to the Earth that the comet will reach will be a distance of approximately 197 million kilometers away, and the closest point to the Sun will be approximately 136 million kilometers away. 131. This comet will exhibit a double tail and will pull a reddish-yellow and approximately 152 million kilometer long cloud of particles behind itself. 132. About 2 years after its discovery, on April 1st in the year 1997, it will reach its closest distance to the Sun, under whose influence it will expel large amounts of water vapor, along with large amounts of toxic hydrogen cyanide and carbon monoxide. 133. The actual plasma tail will exhibit a bluish, gleaming form and will be 98 million kilometers long. 134. The age of the comet amounts to 5.24 million years. 135. It will be discovered as a result of its great brightness, which it will already exhibit at a distance of about 1 billion kilometers away from the Sun. Billy, fantastic. And when will this comet come so close again that it can be seen again from the Earth? Quetzal, 136. That will take a long time, namely around 2,400 years. Billy, and, will this comet also be able to be seen from the Earth with the naked eye, like with Halley's Comet? Quetzal, 137. Yes, that will be possible. Billy, and in sectarian circles, this will probably again be an occasion to make a doomsday scenario, as this will certainly also be the case with the solar eclipse appearing in Europe on the 11th of August, 1999, about which even Nostradamus has written, but which is misunderstood, unfortunately. Quetzal, 138. Unfortunately, your words will prove to be true in a sad manner because our predictions for these two events along with others unfortunately testify of great disaster, which will evoke delusional believers and religious sectarians. 139. So unfortunately, in certain sectarian communities, it will come to mass murders and mass suicides, namely in Switzerland, in France and Canada, as well as in America and in other countries. 140. Numerous individual suicides will also have to be lamented, and indeed, especially through the fault of the so-called psychics, fortune tellers, star interpreters and, thus, astrologers, who make absurd prognoses and who generate just as great anxiety in their believers and in the pseudo-scientific dreamers of an esoteric, ufological, and parascientific character, and so on. 141. These culpable ones will also be the ones who will coin the term Black Sun for the solar eclipse. Billy, I already imagined something like that, but the people still aren't more clever and aren't willing to acknowledge the facts of the effective truth and to think rationally when they are told the truth. They continue to walk along in their crazy beliefs, confusing themselves more and more, just through the influence of the sectarians, star interpreters, and fortune tellers, as well as through the esoteric and pseudo-parascientists, etc. But may I ask what you meant recently when you said that in 1999, one of my friends will finish his way? Quetzal, 142. It surprised me that you haven't already asked about it, since otherwise, you aren't reserved with your questions. Billy, it was simply because I wanted to find out for myself as to what you could have meant with your words. Nevertheless, a result remained refused to me. Quetzal, 143. Then I want to give you the necessary answer, 144. In Jordan, you gained a friend, who was also your patron. 145. It, Billy, that was King Hussein II. Quetzal, 146. That is correct. 147. My insinuation referred to him. 148. Thus, I want to clarify and tell you that his years are numbered, for on the 7th of February, 1999, he will finish his life. Billy, he is not only a good friend of mine, but he is also a remarkable and very good man who, like me, has already survived many assassination attempts on his life. But even he will have no choice but to go his way and will have to finish this, as you said. Quetzal, 149. That will be so. Billy, then to something else. You once told me that the religious sectarians will increasingly take on more blatant forms and will claim many human lives, for in the name of God or Allah, etc. many murders should be committed and many wars should be conducted. That this will come more and more is clear to me because everything in the world, indeed, also points to this. But now, will everything actually be laid out in such a way for sectarianism to flare up again? Quetzal, 150. Unfortunately, that will actually be the case, by what means in the future, many wars, murder and mayhem, as well as suicides, and mass murders will belong to the general and global affairs of the day. 151. Also, sectarianism will try to fight against homosexuality, in spite of all industrial and national efforts to make this acceptable in the form that homosexual and lesbian couples can form allied partnerships with each other. 152. On the one hand, great efforts will be made in the future to recognize homosexuality as a natural form and to decriminalize this form, which is still often criminalized until now, but at the same time, everything will be ruined again by excessive sectarianism. 153. This, especially through the religious, fundamentalist, Islamic, and Christian sectarian fanatics, who will even demand the death penalty for homosexuality and lesbianism and who will also enforce the death penalty by themselves in various ways. 154. And all this in the name of God, Allah, Jesus Christ, and love and justice. 155. Concerning this, a particular Christian sect will spread itself worldwide, which has existed since 1955, tracing back to the insurance broker Arthur Dahm Moss, who demanded that after his death, his big dollar fortune should be used for sectarian, that is divine, purposes. 156. Arthur Dahm Moss was an American, how could it be otherwise, and the Dahm Moss Foundation traces back to him, and around the turn of the millennium, this will be responsible for the fact that prominent people, such as politicians, sports heroes, and actors, etc. will make use of sectarian propaganda in public media, like in television and so on, in order to find new believers for sectarianism and the Christian religion. Billy, you've actually told me things of the future again, and this already for quite some time, even though you actually didn't want to talk about it anymore. Quetzal, 157. The reason for this, I already explained to you some time ago. 158. Moreover, I confine myself mainly to things and events that will first appear at or after the turn of the millennium. 159. But this falls outside of what we had planned. Billy, so this means that your prophecies, which you no longer wanted to explain, only shouldn't be given any more for the remainder of this century. Quetzal, 160. That is correct, but this doesn't concern all things but only those things, for which there would actually be an opportunity for the earth people to change them, namely through better and rational actions, such that as a result, negatives could be prevented. Billy, so prophecies, or rather things that must be regarded as such. Quetzal, 161. That, too, is correct. 162. We hold ourselves back from these, namely for the reason that until now, we've had the experience that all the prophecies, which were expertly made, bore no fruit and, thus, brought no change for the better. 163. This is the reason why we release no more information in this regard but only limit ourselves to predictions that, as you know, will arrive in any case, for they are unchangeable since they are based on a previewing. Billy, I see. But you could have told me that already at the beginning, when you decided to give me information in this way, in agreement with Tua, if I remember correctly. Well. So in the future, I may surely ask you for predictions that are based on a preview and that are unalterable. If I correctly interpret your words in this form. Quetzal, 164. That also lies in the meaning of my words. 165. You judge my explanation correctly. Billy, and how does it stand with things of the past? Quetzal, 166. Nothing stands in the way of a response to these, when you have appropriate questions, always provided that I possess the necessary knowledge for a pertinent answer. Billy, then I would like to ask you this, last year, namely on the 21st of August, 1986, over 1,700 people died, in addition to a lot of beasts, wild animals, and birds, when in the Central African Cameroon, a poisonous gas cloud spread itself out. Unfortunately, the media gave no further information about this, which is why one stumbles around in the dark in relation to this. Do you know something more about this? Quetzal, 167. Yes. Dash 168. The poisonous gas cloud escaped out of a volcanic crater lake, which is approximately 2 square kilometers in size and over 200 meters deep, and beneath this, deep inside the earth, there are still immense magma chambers of the not yet extinct volcano, but the volcano does not make a superficial appearance. 169. On the date mentioned by you, a poisonous gas cloud explosively escaped out of the volcanic crater lake, which is named Lake Nyos. 170. The village lying next to the lake is named Buabua, and in this, practically all life was extinguished by the poisonous gas. 171. But that wasn't all, because within a radius of 25 kilometers, virtually the same thing happened, for all humans, birds, and animals were killed. 172. Around 20,000 people, including many children, were seriously injured and were taken to hospitals. Dash 173. Lake Nyos is situated in the middle of a volcanic chain of northern Cameroon. 174. And as explained, the volcano under the lake isn't quite extinct yet, and the bubbling liquid magma is constantly releasing carbon dioxide, but this toxic gas doesn't escape into the atmosphere, rather, through the high pressure of the masses of water at 200 meter depths, it combines with the waters, from which carbonic acid develops. 175. Thus, a gigantic deposit of carbonic acid grew on the bottom of the lake for years. 176. Then, when this had reached the critical mass or size, there was a chain reaction, whereby the deposit, during an explosion, shot through the water of the lake as a huge bubble of carbon dioxide and shot high into the atmosphere. 177. In the fateful night of the 21st of August, 1986, approximately 1.7 million cubic meters of poisonous carbon dioxide gas escaped from the subsoil of Lake Nyos, and as a deadly cloud, it set itself like a carpet above the earth, within a radius of about 25 kilometers, and all life suffocated. 178. But with this, the danger for the future wasn't banished because by the turn of the millennium, an enormous deposit of carbon dioxide will once again accumulate under the lake, which will then be twice as large as the one in the explosion within the last year. 179. If it comes to a new outbreak of poisonous gas in the new millennium, then the consequences will be even more devastating than they were a little more than half a year ago. 180. From our side, however, we will send some more impulses in order to influence the earthly scientists to find possible means and ways, on a technical basis, to diffuse the poisonous waters at the bottom of Lake Nyos, namely in the form that these poisonous waters are transported above the surface of the lake in a controlled and harmless manner and are made safe. Billy, and how does this agree with your directive, which says that you may in no way interfere in the affairs of other peoples and civilizations. Quetzal, 181. This can be reconciled because we interfere in no affairs at all. Rather, we only send out impulses to certain scientists, who can encounter solutions with these and work on them, without them even having the slightest notion of the fact that they have received impulses from us. 182. So they will be of the opinion that the impulses come from themselves, and they will ascribe all insights and successes to themselves. 183. It must be said in this connection that we offer no solutions through these impulses, rather, we only transmit impulses, through which suggestions for ideas result in certain directions and so on. Billy, you promote my understanding. But since we're already talking about volcanism, how is it, actually, in Italy with Mount Vesuvius? To my knowledge, this is still active, and if it comes to an eruption, it will presumably come to a worse disaster than what was the case on the 24th of August, AD 79, when Pompeii was completely destroyed by the enormous eruption of Vesuvius and was buried. The hot, liquid magma under the soil of Vesuvius is hundreds of square kilometers in size and even extends beneath the city of Rome, as I know from you. Quetzal, 184. That is correct. 185. Under the volcano, at a depth of approximately 8 kilometers, there is a huge lake of magma, which has a total area of 523 square kilometers, and from this, several vents flow out of the flanks and out of the crater of the mountain, and occasional masses of magma rise just beneath the crater's surface. 186. And if it comes to an eruption of Vesuvius, and I mean a really tremendous eruption, there will be a catastrophe of enormous proportions. Billy, then a question. Through the fault of the person, the Aral Sea is drying up, as well as the Dead Sea. Will this actually continue in such a way, and will one have to expect that the irrationality of the person will actually lead to the disappearance of these two bodies of water on the map? Quetzal, 187. Unfortunately, this must be expected. 188. If everything continues in such a way with the abuse of the water, like through the emptying of it and through the inhibition of new inflows, then probably in no more than 100 years, neither the Aral Sea nor the Dead Sea will exist. Billy, recently, I was asked for the reason why the so-called Franklin expedition had failed and why all the participants had died. It was a pole expedition. Quetzal, 189. That is well known to me. 190. Without exception, the participants of the expedition died as a result of lead poisoning, which was brought about by canned food, for the cans contained high concentrations of lead that poisoned the contents, which were then eaten by the people, by what means they fatally poisoned themselves. 191. And those who did not die directly from lead poisoning, miserably perished by freezing to death. Billy, aha, then to another matter, the alleged moon landing of the Americans, why the alleged moon landing participants maintain, in spite of the solid evidence to the contrary, that they had actually been on the moon. One could make these ones talk by truth serums, nevertheless, and could uncover the moon landing lie that fools the world. Quetzal, 192. That would hardly be possible because all the alleged participants were placed under heavy drugs and hypnosis without their knowledge, after which they were then subjected to a post-hypnotic brainwashing, and in consequence of this, all artificial memories of non-realized experiences and adventures, and, thus, of the faked moon landing, were dictated to them, which they then adopted into their waking consciousness, whereby they became of the belief of their alleged experiences and adventures. 193. The drug-induced and hypnotic blockade, through which nothing should be betrayed, is so strong that it can be penetrated by no means, and such attempts could sooner have a deadly consequence than that the truth could be squeezed out. Billy, oh, so I see. You once said that the Incas sacrificed children, in order to appease the cult gods. Where, then, were these children sacrificed. Quetzal, 194. At various places, but often on a high mountain, in Tiutana. Billy, in Egypt, falcons were regarded as sacred birds and were also given as mummifications to the deceased, as additions to the graves. Where did the Egyptians get so many falcons? Did they breed or import these specifically for this purpose? Quetzal, 195. Neither, for actually, falcons were only rarely killed, mummified, and given to the deceased as additions to the graves. 196. In truth, there prevailed in ancient Egypt an active falcon mummifying swindle, which rested on the fact that mummified forms of falcons were produced in great quantities, but these contained no falcon bones but rather animal bones, such as cow bones, etc. 197. Many thousands of such false mummifications of falcons were produced, which were then sold at prices that were high at the time. 198. Often involved in this commercial swindle and commercial fraud were the priests, who obtained great wealth through this. Billy, then a question in reference to mercury. Here, it is used in ointment medicine. What other purpose does it have? Quetzal, 199. Mercury is highly antibacterial. Billy, then I would like to know what will be developed by the terrestrial astronomers and scientists, etc. as a further consequence of the Hubble telescope, this in reference to further surpassing this coming telescope, which should be positioned in Earth's orbit, namely around the year 1990, as you once said. Quetzal, 200. First, a similar but better telescope will be built, which will be stationed on the Earth. 201. In the new millennium, however, plans and developments will continue on, and then, the so-called interferometer will be developed. Billy, what must one understand by that? Quetzal, 202. It will be a telescope that will consist of a whole series of other telescopes that are grouped together, which will reveal undreamed of and unexpected new impressions and insights about the universe to astronomical science. Billy, I can't imagine that, when I think of how narrow-minded these scientists are in part. Quetzal, 203. With that, you are right, unfortunately. Billy, Sam Jace once talked about Earth's oil reserves, just about those which were known at that time and which should last from then until another 25 years or so. But in the meantime, several other stocks of oil have been found, and this still continues to occur. How will this look, however, in the new millennium? Quetzal, 204. The terrestrial oil reserves, which will become known by the turn of the millennium, should be sufficient in relation to the increasing world population and its consumption of Earth's oil, from the time mentioned until about another 70 years. 205. But at the same time, it should be noted that this will concern only the quantities of Earth's oil reserves that are known up to then. 206. Actually, a portion of the petroleum extracted from the Earth is constantly renewed by natural, internal processes of the Earth, as well as by natural plant deposits, animal deposits, and human deposits, due to the processes of decay and transformation, with their death and decay. Billy, that is to be well understood. But how will the further situation of the world develop, with regard to the economy and unemployment? You previously talked about unemployment and the economic collapse, which will be carried well into the third millennium, whereby only after the years 2003, 2006, and in some cases even later, will improvements and, thus, positive changes occur. Does this negative prognosis still remain valid? Quetzal, 207. Unfortunately, yes. Because through mismanagement in all economic sectors and industries, as well as in the governments and in all their administrations, unemployment, as new previews have proven, will be carried far into the new millennium by incompetent managers. 208. This also applies to the indebtedness of the states, firms, and corporations, by what means many of these will change their entire structure through mergers and detrimental sales, and many will fall into bankruptcy and be dissolved. 209.